Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 799 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm on the ground here. You can see behind me this sign. That is the Oklahoma State logo. We are here in Stillwater. It's just me. The forces have conspired against us. They didn't want this show to happen. They didn't send Tyler the necessary equipment to do the show. It didn't matter. David Bray, they're literally canceling flights so that I wouldn't have another co-host, David Bray. And that still didn't matter. So we got Ben on the line. Shane Sparks is coming in relief duty here at 8:45.
Bray's flight got canceled out of Austin?
Spay, Bray, and Kozak all got jammed up in Austin. Spay, so funny. He sat on the tarmac for like 3 hours, and then they just canceled the flight. They canceled the flight in Austin, and then he had to go back. So now they're driving up. They may be listening to the show if they're supportive friends, but they're probably Spay's driving. They're listening to some violent rock and roll music. If I had to guess. So yeah, they couldn't make it. A bunch of people having a hard time getting out of Dallas, but didn't matter. That's why we drove up. And
not even that far. I mean, we made that epic drive for the Iowa Penn Oklahoma State. I flew into Austin just to drive to Stillwater with you guys. I don't know. That was like 2017. It was very long.
That was so fun. Yeah. I don't know what has happened to this team's,
getting soft.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, getting soft. Thinking you can just fly everywhere. No. Get in cars and drive places when you can. That's the lesson of the day.
Absolutely.
We're here on the ground. It was fun yesterday getting to go in the room, watch. We got to see here. Who all did we see wrestle? Dayton was there, Jaden Cox, Jordan Oliver, and Vito all getting workouts in. Did not see a lot of other people. When we arrived, Kyle Snyder and Zane were leaving. It was weird. We were literally pulling the parking lot. My family's here. I mean, we're literally pulling in, and then I'm like, oh, there's literally three Olympic champions right there. It's Cale Varner and Snyder. He kind of like is really crazy. It's like, all right,
Natalie doesn't give a darn, huh?
She knows what's happening a little bit. Caleb and Katie definitely have a better idea who's who at this point. It was fun. Oh, Oklahoma State has a new super $1 million locker room, Ben. This thing
for
is
wrestling, because like, their old one was kind of dumpy.
Yes. Now this new one is really, really nice.
So is it in the same location, same place? Because it doesn't seem like there's anywhere else to move it there. Because, as you walk up those stairs and go in the wrestling room, there's the lobby on the one side and the locker room on the other side.
It's not in the same spot. They didn't like renovate the old area. It's a new one. It's really nice.
But where would it be? Is it still up by the wrestling room?
Okay, so Zoe showed me where it was. It's actually down. So you know where you come in the wrestling room, right? Yeah. Well, on the other side of the wall, there's a door. I don't know if you remember that. And you go down the steps there, and there's the locker room.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Brand new sauna. The whole thing, ping pong table, which I'd love to get a game in. Against somebody. Oh, Kozak's coming. We could literally have a show down here. He's my chief ping pong rival at Flow Sports, Ben.
No one else can keep up.
There's one guy named Jason who's pretty good on the marketing team, but Kozak and I are the kings of the castle.
Hey, let's talk about this back and forth, Nate Jackson and Jason.
Yeah.
Because I am confused. I'm thoroughly confused. So okay.
Let's unconfuse you as best I can.
Let's unconfuse me. Well, I don't know if you're saying, I think it's just kind of silly is what's going to. So, Nate Jackson is pretty much saying that he's going to get Jaden Cox and he's trying to get into his head, et cetera, et cetera. And then if Jaden says, if your plan is to beat me with words, I don't remember the last time that worked. And then Nate Jackson says, I don't know, guys, it sounds like it worked. But to Jaden's point, who has beaten him with words?
No one ever. Okay, counterpoint, Ben. Who has attempted to?
I do remember a really obscure match. This is gonna be I'm a obscure match. I was sitting there watching it. It was probably 2018 US Open in Vegas. Deron Wynn must have been talking some shit to Jaden or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Jaden was like so mad at him. And it was like, what is going on? I mean, at this point, Jaden's a world champion, I think, right? And Deron, you know, he's always been good, but not great. Yeah. And I was like, I was trying to like figure out what was going on, like why he was so mad at him. And I actually thought, like, what if? So Deron was a high school kid in Missouri when I was at the University of Missouri.
Yes.
And Jaden was a little kid. So I thought, like, maybe this goes way back, you know, and Jaden was like a high schooler when Deron was in college and Deron beat him up a little bit or something like that. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, I remember that match. I remember being so surprised when Deron won because Jaden had literally just won NCAAs. And yeah, I also...
Wait, Deron didn't beat him.
Okay,
but it was really close. I mean, this
he
is
did,
so...
You know he did beat him in 2014, though.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, I'm like, this is like 20... This is way... So maybe it goes back to that match.
Yeah.
This is like 20... I think, like I said, I think Jaden was a world champ already, maybe 2018, 2019, somewhere around there.
Right.
And it was okay. Competitive.
I actually kind of remember this.
Yeah.
Jaden, I'll say this, it doesn't take much. Like, not that he has a short fuse.
A little bit, though.
Like, he doesn't have, it's not like a temper, like those temper changes, but like a little dig here or a slight there. And like,
yeah,
it will bother him. Now,
I know what you're saying.
The question is, does it materialize into bad wrestling or bad reaction? And that's what
I don't think so. I actually think so. I always taught, I'm a sports psych guy, right? I love it. And so when we talk about performance, there's like, it's kind of like a bell curve, right? And in the middle would be your ideal state, right?
Yeah.
So for example, if this is like calm as can be, and this one is the most excited, right? So we'll just do a few things. If you're a weightlifter, you're going to want to be on this end. If you're a rifle shooter, you're probably going to want to be on this end, right? Very calm, mm-hmm. relaxed. And wrestling, I would venture to guess, is somewhere in the upper middle echelon, because obviously if you're too calm, That's not good. If you're too jacked up, you're going to make some mistakes, right? Because it is a complex skill set that you need to have for wrestling. So if I were to really coach Jaden fully, I think he's a little too low for his ideal performance state, right? He needs to have a little more energy sometimes. He's a little too calm. So if I were Jaden's coach, I'd try to jack him up a little bit. Right?
Okay. Well,
and so this is good then.
And it's literally coaching because it was Sergey. So let's back up completely.
Okay.
Because I feel like we didn't actually explain necessarily what we're talking about.
Sorry, go ahead.
So it started after World Team Trials. Nate Jackson, he said he's going to win one, yep. which is fair. But then he also said, he sort of alluded to,
yes.
listen, Jaden moved out of New Jersey. He stopped training here. You can kind of imagine why that would be. You can read between the lines there. Just sort of alluding to that he's going to beat Jaden, et cetera, et cetera. And then, so it's kind of funny because Jaden, while we were eating dinner right after World Team Trials, Jaden called me and I texted him. I was like, hey, we're eating dinner. I'll call you later. And we just played phone tag afterwards. And I saw him yesterday and he's like, I was like, hey, sorry, we couldn't connect. He's like, no problem. I was calling to see who won at the trials. He's like, cause I didn't watch any of the matches. I was like, really? I was like, well, Nate Jackson went your way. He's like, oh, I know now. And he said, Sergey, I didn't watch anything. But Sergey said, you need to watch his interview. Watch his interview. So he did, and it bothered him. It got him
all fired up.
So basically what you're saying, like, hey, they need to rev him up a little bit. Jaden was revved about that. And then
that meant Sergey was probably feels the same way that you need to rev him a little bit. So he said in the damn interview.
And so that whole exchange is actually on the website on Flow because it was like this conversation Jay and I were having, the cameras were rolling. So you can watch that. It was fun. And I would say He looked good. He looked ready. He looked really, really focused and locked in. And but I'm sure Nate, like, if you're Nate, it's almost like, man, you should try something, right? Try to throw some sort of, obviously you're gonna have to wrestle the matches and do something, but what's something on the outside that could maybe get a good reaction. Maybe it is something like this. I mean, obviously he's one of the longer shots at Final X. Most people are going to pick Jaden to win.
Well, so I mean, okay. So to go back to that, conversation about, you know, kind of like what type of energy level you want to bring to the mat. It's like, I think you need to rev Jaden up. And I guess, give me an example of a time where Jaden was overly aggressive and paid for it. And I think if you look back at Jaden's losses, you're going to say, too patient, didn't attack enough, got great weapons, needs to go more. I think that's what you're going to say about the losses. I mean, am I wrong? But tell me a loss where he over-pursued something too hard and was punished for it. Is there one?
No. Let's go back. I would say, you know, the only example that comes to my mind, Ben, is I think he got reattacked against Morgan McIntosh on the backside of NCAAs.
Backside doesn't count.
But yeah, sad matches don't count, as we've mentioned here. Other losses that he's had, you know, you think back to his Olympic semis. He lost. He didn't know he was losing. Wasn't going after the score there. His loss to Iran, most recently, it was like, man, it felt like if he went, he would have got it, right?
But I mean, Kyle losses in Detroit, it felt like a little too calm, a little too comfortable letting Kyle get to the underhook. And, you know, he scored a couple times off it, but then, you know, after a while, it just started paying off for Kyle because he was too kind of, I don't want to say complacent, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word.
He conceded a lot of stuff, yeah, I would correct. Say.
That's it.
Like, kind of let the match come to him, which is very much his style, and it's part of what I think I'll say it's part of what makes him good is that he can kind of wrestle out of everywhere.
Yeah.
But also, like, he can be, when he's assertive and attacking, he's like so tough to beat. Scroll back and think of losses he's had. He's had very few.
Not a lot.
His career. Yeah. I mean, he had the weird one against Makoev the last time he made 86, that world championships where he wrestled, you know.
Don't really remember that one.
Oh yeah, you don't want to. It was like that has to have been the worst match of Jaden's career. If I had to guess, if I asked him that would probably be the answer. He got dumped to his back, I'm pretty sure, and like tried to come back and lost. It was when he had the bad cut, and then David Taylor called him out. Do you remember this? He tweeted and called him out after he lost.
Oh yeah.
I was like, there's no way you don't remember this.
I do remember that. Oh, yeah. I do remember.
So that was definitely that was just a weird match. I mean, he had a terrible cut. He was sick leading up to he was injured, remember? He hurt his knee in the Taylor series and he was not healthy. Then he was also really big because he's big for 86. I mean, he's big for 92, right?
Yeah.
And so all that kind of happened, and then he had a pretty down performance at the World Championships by Jaden Cox, and he still won a freaking bronze medal. That's how good this guy is.
Yeah. That's so I think we've kind of made the point there is there's just we don't see it out of Jaden. It's pretty rare where he over pursues something. Rare, I don't want to say maybe non-existent, because rare is maybe too kind. Jaden Cox will rev up. On the other side, if I had to give Nate Jackson some credit here, I would say I don't think Nate Jackson's a liar. And so if he was getting the better out of him, he might have been getting the better out of him. But it was in the practice room and not in a match. So we need to see it in a match before we give it credence.
Yes, 100%. Here's a question I thought of. When did Jaden lose a match out of being overly aggressive? How many elite wrestlers would you say that even that describes? Because I think there's very few
good... Because of over-pursuit?
Yeah, I think it's pretty uncommon. I think a lot of our guys, when you say, oh, he lost this match, he didn't have it or didn't go or didn't have enough attempts or whatever.
The first one that comes to mind is Dake in the Olympics when he gave it that first one, then it started kind of like going nuts. That was an easy one.
Yeah. Which is so uncharacteristic.
Gilman, for example, in Gilman would be one that's done it a couple times, but the most recent one I was thinking is the international tournament, maybe last February.
The Azerbaijan guy. Yeah, he was winning, and he tried to get like a bully point at the end. He ended up getting taken down, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, the Terry Brands, Kendall Cross series, that was over pursuit.
Yeah.
So it definitely has happened, and obviously, by the time you get to the level of world medalist. Yeah, I mean, right, you're really digging to try to find their flaws because they're so good at wrestling. Yeah, like at a lower level, you know, I coach high school kids, right? That is a common problem, right? Very common problem.
Yes.
That you got to solve. And you know, it's a hard one because you don't want to take their aggression away, but you also want them to be a little bit more cerebral in their approach. And, you know, the main point I make, and this is probably totally off the point because it has nothing to do with Jaden. This one doesn't. But you can be aggressive without like just doing crazy attacks, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I can pursue you with a hand fight and pressure you, and I can be aggressive in that way without having to shoot under you every 2 seconds or try a throw, or, you know, like I can be aggressive in multiple ways.
Yes. A good example from Ashland, AKA Larry Steele, just happened to Nick Lee against Henderson, which is true. Yeah. Nick Lee definitely, he got up big and then he was really going for the jugular to tech Evan. And then it really unraveled for him. So there are some more examples that came to the top of our heads than I kind of expected. You think about someone like Kyle against Sagilaya, that's a real balancing act because at some point you got to score, but when you go and when Kyle went, and I'm thinking about the Olympics match, yep, that's when
he gave up points on attacks.
He gave up points on attacks. Yeah.
And so, I mean, but so with something like that, with a Kyle, the way I like to think about that, and I was telling my guys, this is like, okay, in both scenarios, your chances of winning are probably not all that great, right? But if you stand around and look at them, your chances are 5%. And if you go after them, your chances are 15%. Well, you've just tripled your chances.
Yes.
And we don't really know these numbers unless we wrestle them a lot. But if I know my guy's style, I can kind of surmise what the best plan of attack for him is. So, you know, I always think that is like, yeah, there's some guys who you just, I never beat Chris Pelton or I beat him once, right? But I could increase my chances by doing certain things. It's still not going to give me a good chance. It's not going to give me a 50% chance. I never was there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't correlate. Well, I still lost. The plan didn't work, but it still gave you a better chance than you would have had.
Yes.
If you had done something inactive or whatever. Okay. So it remains to be seen how that one is gonna play out. And if I'm curious about this press conference.
That's today.
That's today.
But man, I would love to see some trash talking in wrestling. We don't ever get any trash talking. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Nice, respectful individuals. I think Kyle Snyder's time. He's gonna heel turn right now.
Ha!
Kyle Snyder's the most likely guy to, in the middle of a press conference, just start praying for his opponent. He's that nice.
Funny.
Literally one of the nicest people in wrestling.
Hey, speaking of cutting promos and heel turns, I watched this promo this dude cut last night not in WWE. It's whatever the damn other one is. But I see a few people on feed were like tweeting about it. And then I got up. Ozzy, he only wants to watch battle shows. So he was watching a battle show and I don't want to watch it, right? So I'm like, I'm going to click on this. I'm going to click and watch this promo. This dude cut such a fun promo. I watched it for the whole time. It was freaking awesome. And I knew nothing about I don't watch the pro wrestling at all. It was awesome. I wish like Jaden Cox would just cut this mean promo. It would be so great.
Well, text him. You'd be like, hey, Jaden.
He's not going to do it. Come on, man.
No. Who's very likely to cut a promo? Well, Gilman. Gilman cuts promos without even trying to. He's just so fun to listen to. I think Forrest Molinari is going to cut a mean promo.
Ooh, there you go. Let's go for us.
She can talk the talk. We have a cool video of kind of a hype bid for Forrest and Mallory that we have. If you haven't seen it on the site, I don't know if we can pull it in. Yeah, we're gonna pull it in here. Let's watch it real quick. It's short, 90 seconds.
All I want is that belt. Forrest Molinari, 65 kilograms. I want everyone to know I am a world champion. I need to make that happen, and the first step is Final X.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mallory Velty. I love my teammates, my coaches, and representing the U.S. at the Worlds would be a huge honor.
Me and Mal got a long history together. We've been wrestling each other since high school.
I wrestled Forrest since we were kids. We wrestled at the state tournament, I think, my senior year.
He was just better than me at the time. I didn't know what I was doing yet. I think I lost to her like 13 matches straight. We actually just wrestled in Turkey.
I lost to Forrest in Turkey recently, a few months ago.
You know what's coming. You know I'm taking you to deep water, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Forrest is tough. She'll want to be aggressive and beat people up. That's her style.
With everybody at this level, you have to respect what they do. Unfortunately for Mallory, she's not making another world team this year. That's my spot. I've told everyone 65 kilograms is my weight class, and I'm going to let you guys know that in Stillwater on June 3rd.
It's going to be a tough three-match series at Final X. I expect to see a lot of points scored. I'm excited to wrestle it, and I think that the fans are really going to enjoy watching it.
She's not on my level. She doesn't have my mindset, my work ethic. This is my world team spot. I'm going to go out there and take it, and I'm going to go get my world title. Stillwater's not ready for it, man. I'm going to put on a show out there.
Practice yesterday. Check this out. This is cool.
But I call this home. This is home for me and get back to Gallagher Ivor Arena. Great competitor in Zane, but home sweet home for me. I know the crowd's going to be behind me, and I'm comfortable.
You know, the casting characters that you have here, right? You got Cox, you got Snyder, you got J.O., who's always entertaining. Him and Zane have fun matches. Fix, who's, you know, a world silver medalist. You got Vito and Gilman. Those are, you know, fun.
I got that one. I think you got it. So you might want to stay there, bro.
Sergey said, watch Nate Jackson. And then I watched his interview after the World Team, after he won the World Team Trials. And I came back to you, and I was like, all right, pissed. Because he said, everyone that I've wrestled, I've always been more athletic than, and I think I got him beat athletically. And that kind of torqued me wrong, and maybe I took it the wrong way, but it's just like, so everyone I beat was because I was just more athletic than them. So now I'm not the wrestler. So now, I wasn't a good wrestler. I was just athletic. It sent me in a spiral, and I was like, I came back to Sergey and KJ, and I was like, I'm not too happy about that.
It was my last match in Gallagher Ivor Arena. It was against Brent Metcalf, and I lost. So to get back, to be able to redeem myself, but ultimately make a world team, to be in position to win a world title, this is what I came to Oklahoma State for.
Oh yeah, gets me hype, ready for Final X. Nice. And who also gets me hype? Shane Sparks. Sparks is here. It's a hat day for the Sparknado.
It is. Great to see you guys. Yeah, it's last day of school for my daughter, so we do the traditional breakfast and all that stuff. So I got to get up a little earlier. And you're right, it's a hat day.
Nice.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys. What's the breakfast move?
Well, Typically, I take my youngest daughter, because my oldest one, who's a sophomore, she's got to go to school like earlier. It's called 0 hour. So typically my youngest one and I go to Big Apple Bagels every Thursday morning.
Ooh, but nice.
The last day of school is we raised the bar a little bit. We typically go to IHOP, but IHOP was closed today. Like, who knows?
What?
I have no idea what's going on.
It was Thursday? Closed.
I have no idea. So we went to Perkins. So it was good. Another school year wrapping up, and an exciting time with Final X. I mean, you guys know I love folk style, and I do, but I also like freestyle. I like it, but Final X fires me up. It's a big weekend.
We wanted you to be fired up, so we're happy for that.
Yes. Nice. It should be a good one. Any matchups you're looking most forward to for at least the Stillwater?
Zane and J.O. I mean, yeah. Those two guys, I mean, every time, I mean, I just, what I love about that matchup is both those guys have a very deep understanding, I would assume, that they know they both know they can win. They also know in order to win, you'll probably have to go to hell and back 3 to 4 times. Like, they know it. Right? I mean, those guys hell and back know, one time.
Not good enough. 3 or 4. Yeah.
I mean, those guys under, I mean, I love that matchup. I love the video you guys had with Jaden and Nate mm-hmm. Jackson. That one fires me up a little bit. Jaden is such an interesting guy to me.
Oh yeah.
He's intriguing to me. I've gotten to know him a little bit. I really like him, but I'm fascinated kind of by how he thinks and what motivates him. I mean, Jaden Cox is one of those guys. I mean, he listens. And he listens to everything. So the fact that he's a little bit annoyed, I think that I kind of like that. I love the video with Mallory Velty?
I mean,
their personalities. I just like the personalities with those two. So. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good matches. How about you two? What are you looking forward to?
Hey, I was just thinking, man, you know, son, I look at my son and he looks like me sometimes. I watch Jaden Fix drill. I'm like, good God, how is that not my offspring?
Ben, I was thinking the exact same thing.
What in the world, Jay?
Listen.
The side of his face and everything.
Listen, literally about 30 seconds ago, true story, yes. I'm not making this up. I see you and I'm looking at you and I'm going, man, Ben and Dayton Fix, they look the same.
My gosh.
Dayton is how old now? 22. Yeah, it's not possible, guys. It's not possible. I don't know how. It looks like it, but it's not possible.
We can finally put those rumors to bed. Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, who was Jaden Cox drilling with there? I couldn't tell. I was trying to.
I don't know. It was an Oklahoma State wrestler.
Why is Jaden drilling with an Oklahoma random Oklahoma State wrestler like 2 days before Final X?
I don't think he had a partner here in Michigan.
That's so Jaden. It really is. Like, Jaden, you've been wrestling for how long? You can't find one dude to say, hey, buddy, come be my drill partner. Like from an old Mizzou teammate, you know, whatever. You can't find one dude. Hey, man, come be my team.
It was Connor Doucette, almost positive.
I don't really know him.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Like, what the heck? That's so Jaden. That's like.
Man, I don't know if it was Connor Doucette. I don't know who it was.
Which I'm pretty sure Jordan Oliver is in New York right now.
Yeah.
But he was drilling with Victor Voinovich, I think.
Yeah, I believe so.
Right? Voinovich is at Oklahoma State, so I'm curious about that connection. I'm just thinking 2 days before I'm wrestling Final X, 2 days before it, I'm drilling with Max, or I'm drilling with someone I'm super – I'm making sure I got my person I want to drill with.
Your son, Dayton Fix.
Yeah, and I never drilled Dayton Fix, so I probably wouldn't pick him. I would love to drill Dayton Fix though if he wants to drill, but be some good father son bonding time.
He would definitely pin you in a chin and arm though.
Christian, where are you at?
I'm home. Look,
look, you don't see that?
I'm in an Airbnb in.
Okay, I was gonna say. I actually had to. I'm embarrassed to say, but it took me about 2 seconds. I'm like, that's not the Texas logo. That's Oklahoma State.
Nothing getting by Shane today.
I would have burned that thing behind you, Christian. I would take
it. I
think it's kind of cool, and I'm not a proud Oklahoman or anything like that, but that's nice. Homie, if you will. I'm excited, man. I'm like you. I feel like I'm the only person that is legitimately giving Vito any chance here. Talking to people here this weekend. Person. Obviously, the gray – and Vito, they think, but everyone else is like, dude, this is just like so uphill. I'm like, man, I know.
It's so uphill, Christian. It's so uphill when you consider what Thomas Gilman has become, right? I don't have that book. I was reading this book. It had the diagram that I like where it shows what people want progress to look like. And it's like this. And then what it feels like. And it's all over the place. And then like what it really is. And it's like, you know, in steps like that. And that Thomas Gilman took a big step last year. And Vito had a great trials, right? He beat Dayton Fix, but
If you bring up Pat Gloria one more time.
Dude, what do you want me to bring up? What do you want me to bring up? He just lost. Not once. It didn't happen once. It happened twice. Happened two times this year. Happened two times.
I mean, it's freestyle, folk stuff. I mean, and Dayton Six lost to Roman Bravo Young.
Roman Bravo Young's probably beating Seth Gross. And if Roman Bravo Young's in Final X right now, I'm probably saying, ooh, that's going to be a tough one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how good RBY is underneath, but Dayton doesn't have a takedown on him in the last two matches, right?
Yeah, I just think the edge is such an equalizer.
He could push him around more.
Guys, when's the last time we saw Gilman? When's the last time we've seen him?
Pan Ams.
Oh, Pan Ams.
Yeah. Okay.
There was no one good. But
it's like.
Yeah,
Seth Gross obviously looked really good in the finals of the trials, but guys, he was down 12-3 to Jesse Mendez.
Yes, he was.
I mean, that's a high school kid, right? So if you're not saying you don't think that Roman Bravo Young would have a good chance of beating Seth and being in Final X.
I completely agree with that.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't even know why Roman Bravo Young, and I know, listen, don't, Kale, don't text me and tell me you got a plan. I know you do. I know you're really smart. But that being said, I don't know why there's certain, I don't know why RBY didn't wrestle. Like, I think he's got a really good chance of being on the world team this year. And if he's on the world team, decent chance of winning a medal. And man, world medals, they're hard to come by, right? You don't get very many shots at them. So if you can't give yourself, if you can give yourself that opportunity, why not give yourself that opportunity, right? There's, a few other guys, like I thought Kirkwood could have wrestled and he would have potentially been able to make Final X, right? Especially with Gable out. Mm-hmm. So there's a few guys on the Penn State roster that I'm like, yeah, they probably should have. I would have liked to see him compete. And Roman Bobby Young is number one on that list.
Aaron Brooks also would have been interesting, him versus Heed. I'm not dismissing Roman against Dayton, but I just think the folk style freestyle difference is mm-hmm. tremendous. I don't know. My wife is ducking like there's a camera pointed the other way, but the camera's pointed this way. It's really weird. She's going to throw something at
her. Yeah, obviously, if Dayton gets on top, he is so freaking good on top in freestyle. Roman would have to be elite underneath to not get turned. But, yeah, I mean, Dayton hasn't got a takedown. So, maybe he's going to get done with pushouts. There's definitely a chance of that.
Do you guys think that – do you think Seth Gross wins a match? I mean, I can't. I like picking teams or picking whatever. I'm telling you what, I think Dayton Fix is going to go crazy. I mean, I would be on my confidence level, and I think Seth Gross is phenomenal. But I would be, anything can happen at sports, and I still believe in all that. I would be shocked if Seth Gross beat Fix. Like, that's how high up I am on Fix. I think Dayton Fix is the guy's – I mean, he's a world silver medalist. It's fantastic.
Yeah, especially when you see what happened with him last year. I mean
– it was interesting hearing – so I listened to Seth's post-trials interview, and he's like, listen, I want that match back. I want another chance. I've been teched and pinned by guys before, and then I figure it out. I felt him. I felt what I need to feel, so I'm going to be ready. And so it makes you think, but then stylistically, so I was watching as I rewatched their match where Dayton won 11-0, it didn't even get to like parterre was not that big of a factor in this, right? It the reason I think it's such a long shot for Seth is like it actually didn't even get into the areas where Dayton is like so elite. Like Seth barely got to the legs of Dayton, which mm-hmm. we know when you get in on Dayton, like he is insane and his counter offense ability. And then also he only got 2 points of the 11, I believe, were from top parterre. It was just like he dominated the edge. He got some go behinds. He had some re-attacks. He had some of his own offense. He just had it all working. So I feel like Dayton didn't even have to show the stuff that makes him really special. It's going to be such a steep hill for Seth to climb. It's almost going to be the most interesting part is like, okay, how does he tactically, Seth, approach this? Like, do you try to get to him as a bunch? Because, and the other thing that makes me think it's going to be really tough is Seth can get in on everyone. Like, he has a, like, unbelievable range finder sort of thing from just to get legs, and he was barely able to even, like, touch the legs, right? Which, to me, says this just, there's, like, an athletic speed, motion, positioning advantage that Dayton has, and I'm like, man, I don't know if you overcome that with game planning, right? There's just some things that are stacked against him.
And, you know, the game plan thing is, and Seth, I think, has historically shown a pretty good job of that, right, figuring people out. But generally speaking, I feel like you need to have at least a little bit of success, right, where you have those couple things like, oh, that worked. I just need to get to that more, right? Or, oh, he only beat me. He got this one position like three times, and that was why I lost. You know, those are the ones that make it really simple. But, like, what level of success did he have in that last match? Man, not a lot.
Yeah.
Of any sort.
Yeah, Dayton's just so, man, the comfort level in freestyle, I think you see it too. He's really aggressive as well. And I think part of that is just his counter ability. If guys do attack, and if they don't attack, he's going to attack you and take you down. So yeah, he's a big, who do you think is a bigger favorite on the men's freestyle side? Kyle, probably. Would you say Kyle's a bigger favorite than over Colin Moore?
Yes. Yeah. There's, okay. Man, unless an injury, I don't think there's any way I see that one go the other direction.
Yeah.
Guys, would you agree the one thing that has stood out to me in Final X, and I could be wrong, that's why I'm asking you guys, it just seems like there's a pretty big gap between one and two, right? I mean, it just seems like, for the most part, it's like there's a clear number one and a lot of two matches and it's over.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's been, obviously, I don't know, Final X's, but there's been, where the classify the last two as a Final X or Old Team Trial. There's obviously been years when there's been a lot of competitive bouts. I don't know that this year is the year for that. I think our guys who are good are, like, they're so good, right? I mean, a lot of these guys, without Russia at the World Championships, we're going to win, I don't want to say five world titles, right? Probably eight medals, something like that. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a big number. And so I think our guys who are good are so freaking good that they're not going to be that competitive.
You guys think there's any chance Russia gets back in or done deal?
Christian said no.
I actually was the one saying maybe, but.
Oh, really?
I talked to someone yesterday that was like, no, it's not going to happen. So
it's such a downer, right?
It is. I mean,
whether or not they should be there or not, whatever. But gosh, that is such a downer. It's almost like, you know what? I mean, I think this is a fair, and you know, comparison. It's like when Penn State doesn't do the national duels, right? It's like, okay, well, right?
Yeah.
You got to have the top dog there. If it's not that it doesn't make it legit, but it
just changes the perception of the whole tournament. Yeah. If you don't have to go through the gold standard.
Don't get me fired up again. And what they should have got suspended for was freaking all them damn steroids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
that is, that is insane.
Yeah, well, where they should be in trouble, they're not. That is 100%. I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would feel way more legit than, okay, they have a, you know, scumbag leader, and now they're.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a bummer. So, I'm not too optimistic that they're going to get in, honestly, unfortunately. So, the gap between the ones and twos, I think it's a combination of we're in a really pretty special time for USA Wrestling. We've got elite guys who have not gone away. They just remain there for years and years and years. And it's tough. We're fortunate to have that many Olympic and world champions that have stuck around the sport. And then I do think there is kind of we're in a waiting point for like that second gap to come in and really start to threaten the old guard of Jordan Burroughs, Kyle Snyder, Kyle Dake, Jaden Cox, David Taylor. That's kind of like the old, like very much the old guard, I would say, who is not old in their wrestling really, but they've been good for so long.
Kind of old. Right? I think it's going to be 2024. It's going to come into play, right? I think that's when
it's going to
emerge.
It's going to have this intersection where it's going to be a real question. I still think in 2024, it may be not ready to tip these guys out. Like, I think maybe we'll see some of them.
Well, if it doesn't happen in 2024, I feel like some of them dudes are going to be done after 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, next cycle.
That's will be a good point.
You guys watch it. I know it's not this final X, but Bader had a good interview. I watched the whole thing yesterday with him and Zahid.
No, give us the cliff notes. I haven't got to see it yet.
It was good. I mean, Zahid said that if David, in his mind, and he's intriguing to me too, but he said that if David Taylor beats him, it's an upset. And I will say this. Zahid Valencia, watching him against Mark Hall, Zahid is a beast. Like, he's huge. I mean, that,
he's not that huge for, I bet he's really not that huge for 189.
God, he looked, compared to Mark Hall, he looked huge. What, I mean, and I know I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but Zahid and David Taylor, that one intrigues me, but.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Man, I know there's a ton of confidence in Arizona in Zahid. Mark Perry believes, Zahid believes, they think they're going to do it. You know, and it's like, the guy hasn't wrestled since Worlds. There's a lot of things you could talk yourself into that. I just think for me, and not to get on too much of a Final X New York rant, but I just think it's more about the matchup for me. It's just not a great matchup for Zahid. I just think the things that are going to make him successful are going to actually help David.
Okay.
Whereas if someone as good as Zahid with maybe a slightly different style, maybe would have a better shot. I could be completely wrong here because Zahid could just be the one advantage that Zahid might have, and it's maybe not even a might, is like he is just a really elite athlete from a quickness, speed, power combination thing, and you know that's an area of advantage. But you know, David's seen it all too, right?
Sure. Oh yeah,
he is seasoned. So, thinking about Final X here, there's some definite lopsided potential matches. Men's freestyle and women's freestyle. To, you know, Tamara Mensah-Stock versus Sienna Ramirez. That is, oh my gosh, poor girl. Like yeah, it's just
very competitive.
Literally no chance.
Have either one of you guys ever had your hands on Tamara Mensah-Stock like wrestling? I mean, I bet she would. If I wrestled her, she would destroy me. Like, I wouldn't mess with her ever.
Like, no,
I mean she is. I love watching her. I mean she is fun to watch wrestle because she can put the beat down on people, and she's such a cool person. You know, I like. She's easy to like.
But, very, very likable. I've not wrestled really any of these people. Right. Why would they bother? No one would waste their time. But yeah, I could confirm that we would probably meet a similar demise, Shane.
Oh man, he's tough.
So okay, looking. So we touched on Seth versus Dayton, and it, you know it's in Oklahoma State, so that's gonna be a huge advantage for Dayton as well. But also, you know, Jordan Oliver was talking a lot about the getting the match back and against Zane and getting on the team and actually getting first time on the team and getting to compete at the world stage for United States for Jordan would be huge for him in his career. And he said he's still thinking about, I don't know if you've seen the video yet, but his last match
to Metcalf,
Gallagher, Iba, he got lost. He got Metcalf, and the finish to that is still iconic when Metcalf, like Jordan kind of just stops wrestling. He's like kind of conceding defeat. Metcalf pancakes him over and J.O. shoves his face and Metcalf just gives him the shrug like, What did you think I was going to do? So he's still thinking about getting that match back. Oh, I think we've got it here. Yeah. So if you're watching live, here it comes. Boom. Get off. Metcalf's reaction to that is the most classic. So thinking about the Zane matchup, I have no idea how this is going to go. I think it's the biggest toss up of maybe all of Final
One. Yeah.
All of Final right. X, I mean, or which I'm the men's free
final. I mean,
all of it.
I take all. Yeah.
I don't think there's a women's match that is this much of a coin flip in my mind. at least not with like a super established, you know, there's some new faces to the scene that I'm not as sure about, but here, I'm going to pull this up real quick. I don't think there's one with as narrow.
I think on the men's freestyle side, it's pretty obvious.
Although, that's the one. You know what's close? Jenna versus Jakara. That was really good. I mean, you want to talk about those two matches. Their first two matches were absolute, like, Jakara was up 6-2 and got thrown to her back. And then Jakara was up 8-3, and then Jenna came back. And that's definitely potentially a coin flip. But I think Zane J.O. is so, so tough to call. I'm curious for the game plan, because it feels like both guys have had different game plans every single match. And their last match was really, they let Jordan sort of implement his Yanni game plan, which is like be really close in striking distance and then boom, get one late, and then just hang on the last like 5-10 seconds. That's kind of how he beat Yanni. And that's how he beat Zane at the trials.
Was that the 2-2 one? Was that the 2-2 match? I saw one video where it was 2-2. I thought it was 2-2 close.
Yeah, that was last year in Lincoln. So I don't know if it's going to be like that. I can't imagine Zane's going to let it be that calculated. But then Jordan Oliver is another guy. You know, talk about Jaden. Jordan is another guy. You're like, man, if he just went more and just attacked, like that guy is so tough to beat because he has so much offense. But sometimes in the matches he's lost, the thing you're saying is like, man, probably should have went a little more or a little sooner or a little this or a little that, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys this. 100%. Last 10 years, an American wrestler that is, I don't know how I'd word it. I don't want to come out and say like, just, I guess what I'm saying is you look at like Jordan Oliver, is there any other wrestler? I got another guy that kind of is maybe a little bit ahead of him, but just like, gosh, you know, 10 years ago, it'd been like Jordan Oliver's career. What does he do? And here he is looking to make a world. I think Jordan Oliver is freaking special.
No.
Like I've always thought Jordan Oliver is more of a freestyle guy. Like in comparison to like Metcalf, I always thought Metcalf was kind of grind. I just always thought Oliver's slickness would have gotten him a world medal.
Jordan Oliver's been, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he's been a top three guy in his weight class for a decade, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I would have expected him. He's been the number one. Maybe I would have said he would be the number one guy a few times.
I don't think
times.
So, man. I think if you go back to 2012, 2013.
I didn't feel that way. I know a lot of people felt that way. I did not, no.
I would have bet a lot. I would have put a lot of money on him having world success just because of his slickness. He's slick.
I wouldn't have been shocked if you said, hey, Jordan Oliver made a team in 2014 and won a world medal. I'd be like, oh, my God, how did that happen?
Okay.
But if you told me, you know, because of the style he wrestles against these uber elite guys, he's going to be constantly in close matches, which is the case.
Yeah.
Been the case for a decade.
You're right. I think the word is thinked, actually. When he was at 12, I just thought he had everything. And I thought going up to 65, 66 at the time, I think, for a little bit there, I thought he was going to be the guy for a while. I thought he was going to surpass Metcalf and then be the man. And it just... Yeah.
So everyone has fallen in love with Jordan Oliver's athleticism and diversity of technique, right?
Yes.
He has a lot of techniques he can do. Everyone falls
That's
in love
exactly
with that.
It.
But it's the mentality. Like, you know, if you really think of like say a David Taylor, right? Or Jordan Burroughs, probably they're just so aggressive and they're so persistent in their pursuit of what they want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes them so, so, so elite. You know, I think you could say Jaden Cox has some of the similar issues that Jordan was, where he doesn't really let it go. But if you look at the field, and this has been at 65 kg, it's so freaking deep, both domestically and internationally. It's so deep. Whereas those upper weights, they get a little thinner. And you don't have guys with the skill sets, so you can't afford to do that. But that at 60, that probably 135 to 155 range is probably I think you go all the way to 74, right? So that 135 to 170, 165 range is probably the toughest weight in wrestling. And so when you have so many guys who are so good and you're okay with wrestling close matches, and you're not in this dogged pursuit of dominance, like a Burroughs or a Taylor would be great examples. I feel like you're going to have just tough times winning, right? Because they're so close all the time.
Yeah. Who do you favor, Zane or Jordan in this one?
I think it's like a coin. I mean, it's like a coin flip. I think
we said flip your magical coin.
Yeah. I mean, I probably Zane, but I could definitely see it going either way. And the reason I would say Zane is, I mean, yeah, it's been to Jane's point, it's been 10 years, and Jordan Oliver's been very, very close to that upper echelon, and he's only got it done one time. Now, the positive is that one time was last year, so maybe mentally he's progressing to a point where he's going to be more consistent. But, yeah.
Let me ask you guys this in regards to Oliver, because he's been, and you could maybe argue either side of the coin on this one too. And again, I don't know these things. I have no idea. It's just things I think about. When I look at Zane Rutherford, very consistent as far as his training environment. Mm-hmm. It's at Penn State, it's consistent. And correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like J.O. is someplace every 2 years. Yeah. It seems like he's someplace else. Yeah. And I've always just kind of wondered, like, man, I don't know. Again, I have no idea.
It hasn't really seemed to affect him, though. I mean, because Jordan Oliver has moved a lot, but performance-wise, it's actually been really consistent, right? It's been like, has he been below third?
I mean, 2016 trials, he wasn't in the you know, that was the bloodbath tournament. 2017, he got popped, which took him out for I think two years.
That was big.
That was bad. Yeah. We kind of forgot. He sort of lost two opportunities. He won the Open in 2017 when Zane made the team, and then he got popped. And then the way his suspension was, it was only a 1 year suspension.
But he missed the next trial.
But it made him miss any path to qualify for the next trial. So then he was out for 2018.
Yes.
So, and then 2019, he and Zane were, he was right there. He lost in two matches in the trials finals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, 2021, he was our guy at 65, but wasn't unable to qualify now. And then he lost and did not make the team for 70. So, yeah,
Let me ask you guys this. Who is a wrestler that you guys have seen at some point in your career that you never had, like, I remember the first time I saw Jordan Oliver. I never heard of him. I didn't know who he was. And I'll never forget it. And that was when he was in high school. And he's got to be early 30s by now. You guys got that kind of guy? Who impressed you the most? Like, you saw him early when they were in high school, and you'll never forget him. Because it was like, damn, this is another level.
Yeah. I got to coach Yanni when he was like 12. And it was mental. Wow. It was mentally a different level. You know, like, he had a different feel as a 12-year-old than most 12-year-olds do. And it was like, oh, this kid's. I don't know. I didn't know he was going to be an NCAA champ, right? But I'm like, oh, this kid's going to be good. Like, he's got it right here. So, yeah, Keegan was like that. Keegan was very similar in that way, mentally kind of past his peers. Who else? You know, one guy who sucked, he actually got tech-falled in the match, but it was a freestyle match. And I could tell him, like, oh, this dude's never done freestyle. But damn, like, I was really impressed with what happened was Gregor Gillespie. He got he got tech fall by? It was at Fargo by Craig Henning, who ended up being an NCAA
concert.
And I'd never seen it. And I'm like, damn, that dude was good. But I could tell he didn't know what he was doing in freestyle. He kept getting tipped and stuff off shots, you know? And then sure enough, he ended up being really good.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure who it is for me. I'll have to come back to that question, Shane. I'm not sure. You know, one thing that I remember back in the day, Nomad mentioned this. He's like, Zane in a tournament versus Zane sitting out focused on one guy is a really different thing. And when Zane can, like, is only focused on one wrestler, that's what we saw with the Yanni series. And we've seen, it's like, if that's all he's got to do is thinking about beating this one guy, he's really tough to beat. He's tough to beat in general. But, you know, internationally, when he's made the team, he hasn't been able to get over the hump. But if he has one guy to think about and game plan for, he's really tough to beat.
How many times and
he had Rashidov on the ropes? Remember that match?
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, yes. Rutherford, he's another, it's crazy. And we talked about Gilman, you know, Gilman fits this in with the Olympics last year. It's like they're so close from losing, and then it's like, oh, disappointing performance. And then they're that close to winning the gold medal too, or perhaps. And Rutherford just, gosh, he's good, man.
Yeah, the margins are nuts. What were you saying then?
Oh, I was saying, I don't feel like you said the thing about Zane sitting out, but has that happened? It's once or twice. He hasn't sat out a whole bunch of times.
Right? No, but
this would be another one, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I just do think it is, and it's also like the Penn State aspect, right?
Yeah.
Like them game planners, just focused on the couple things, whereas, you know, at 70 trials and Lincoln, it's a lot of different stuff, and you're not as keyed in, maybe, or you're just not able to. Now you've had a couple weeks of thinking about just this one guy. So I don't know. I don't know if that plays a factor at all, but it kind of does plant that. I think I'm gonna pick Jordan ultimately, but it plants a seed of doubt in my mind. Like Zane, and then you got to beat him twice too, right? And just kind of battle the game plan and the match within the match is what I'm really curious about. Mm-hmm. Shane, we talked about it a little bit, but do you also think like it's kind of Gilman next topic in the Gilman Vito conversation, or how much of a shot do you give Vito?
I think he's super talented, but I think with Gilman, it's just hard to ignore what he's done. I mean, look at the, like Ben was saying, the progress he's made. I mean, he's a legit, I mean, I think about it like this too, not to, you know, obviously Spencer Lee's not in this mix, but I remember Gilman with past interviews would be like, you know, I got to beat Spencer Lee. And, you know, and then I was just kind of, I don't know what Thomas Gilman's the guy to beat, period. Right. I mean, Thomas Gilman, the progress he's made the last year is pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think, you know, how can Vito handle the hand fight is obviously the number one question. Keep his butt to center, but also one of Gilman's, you know, former, I guess, shortcomings was his inability to finish. But against Vito is actually, I would say, one of Vito's weaknesses is his leg defense. When you get in, a lot of guys are able to kind of lift it and finish, and Gilman traditionally has been able to. So I think it's going to be so important. Not only does he win the hand fight, though, he's got to keep Gilman off his legs, because if he gets in, Gilman's a pretty high percentage finisher now, and Vito has a hard time when guys get in stopping him. So that's to me where the match can be won and lost for Vito. But also maintaining 6 minutes with Gilman is going to be a big factor as well.
I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised if Vito beat him.
Yes.
Be surprised if it went three matches.
Yeah. The advantage for Vito is if you're trying to find out what's his path, it's like, man, he is an elite athlete. He's really fast. He has like some really elite speed to the leg. And he's competent in a lot of different areas. Like he's pretty good upper body. He's pretty good, you know, in a variety of different positions. So that's kind of like, all right, Vito's going to win. It's probably going to look a little like that. But yeah, I understand. I feel like maybe it's a longer shot than I'm giving him credit for. Maybe I should be giving more respect to Gilman, even though I do probably think Gilman's going to win. I'm giving him a little more of a shot than maybe others.
Ben, let me ask you this. Because when you were competing, were you married and had kids?
Fighting, not wrestling.
Okay. I'm just always thinking about that stuff, because people can slice any they want to. Yeah. When you're married and have kids and stuff like that, you know, Gilman, you know, had a baby not that long ago. I mean, I'm not saying that, maybe some guys it makes them better for different reasons, but it's different. I mean, it has to be. And I was just kind of wonder how people make adjustments and, you know, what the differences are, and they make adjustments. And
yeah, it's obviously a huge life change. I never felt it was very different for my competitive levels. Yeah, No, I didn't see too many differences. I mean, obviously I had a nice stable home life and my wife was, you know, great with the kids. So it wasn't like I had any stress there, or not too much stress besides them, like, you know, you guys know you have kids, you know, they're whining or bitching or pooping their pants or waking up too early. Like that Tuesday morning, actually, freaking, before I came on the show, Ozzy came into my room. And I looked at my phone, and I swore it said 6:55. So I'm like, whatever. Okay, I'm going to get up. You know, and I had some reading to do anyways. So I got up and then I went and sat on the couch and reading. And then I realized, oh, wait, it didn't say 6:50. It said 5:55. Oh. I'm a night owl, right? So I'm like, And then I felt so tired all day because I was like, you know, I don't know, when you wake up, sometimes you feel like you're ready to go. And then I got up and I started reading. I'm like, oh, I'm really tired. What the hell's going on? Oh, shoot, it's only 5:55. Damn it.
Ozzy, man, strong boy, gets up early to battle.
He actually went back to bed that day, which is really rare when he wakes up. Usually he'll like, he'll be like, dude, go back to bed. It's early. Like, stop. Like, I'm a night owl, so I'll stay up to midnight and then I'll wake up at like, you know, 7:38. He'll open the window and be like, see, it's light out. You can't go back to sleep. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, this morning, though, he wanted to battle. He watched a show. And then our rule during the week is the kids can't have any iPads. There's only one TV, so they got to kind of like change between shows. No, you can't go sit in the corner and watch your iPad. And so when it was Alex's turn, he's like, I don't want to watch this. Let's go battle.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of parenting, it's there's rumors circulating that you're going to maybe not come to New York, not bring your daughter to UNORC, which, as you talked about on the last show, is something
I'm going to take her at some point. It just won't be next week.
So you're officially withdrawing.
No, I haven't officially withdrawn because I gotta take it. My daughter doesn't watch the show, but my wife and it's their last day of school. So Shane, your kids must be private school to end early.
No,
really,
no.
Because my kids
last day is next public, one's in private. Yeah.
Okay. So next Wednesday is their last day, and my older daughter Alex and my wife are giving me a hard time about making her miss her last day of school. So I may talk to her when she gets home from school today and just see if we can go a different time. So
what are you talking about? Going where?
I was going to Final X next week. My daughter's always wanted to go to UNORC. She says New York wrong.
Oh, all right.
She says it wrong. She says it backwards. UNORC.
Tell you what you guys should do, and I can text you guys the information. There is some kind of Michael Jackson production, like a Broadway production.
Oh, I don't do that, Shane. No, I ain't doing that. That dude's a pedo. He can get lost. No,
he can beat it.
He's a stop. You're off air. He's a pedo. We're not supporting him.
Well, it's not him. Yeah, he's
okay. Well,
I appreciate
get your point. That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Also, look it up. I think he's been dead for some time now.
He has been dead for a little bit.
Yeah. Which means it's clear.
You guys going to hit up a Yankee game or a Mets game?
No.
We were just going to go to Final. I mean, we were going to go to Final X and then probably go do maybe see a Statue of Liberty or something and then go home. Yeah, we'll see. Now you put my business out here in the streets, Christian Piles.
Wow. You talked about it last show that you were going to go. Now people are thinking, hey, I'm going to see Ben Askren at Final X New York. What do you think? Maybe I'll go too.
People will be disappointed, maybe. I don't know.
Are you going, Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
And that's during the week, correct?
Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be – that's I've never been to that Beat the Streets. That always looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it's I also was going to get back a little late for Cadet Duel, so I don't want Scott Cleaver to be mad at me.
Really?
Scott Cleaver.
Big Sexy. I don't want Big Sexy to be upset with me. I want to be on time to my assignment.
Man, Ben, we're about due for another Big Sexy meat fest. Now, that is
Do you know about this? You know about this? I bet he doesn't know about this. Back in 2000, and it was a year before Max wrestled. Max was a red shirt. So it was.
Nick Hucky was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, he's young. So it's 2006 going into 2007, 2006 summer, I think. We did a camp at Kakana High School. Me, Cole Conrad, and Max would all be ranked number one the following year. And Big Sexy Scott Cleaver threw a meat fest for us, and he cooked us like six kinds of meat on his grill. Shane was there.
That was a great night. Yeah, Nick Hacking, the sophomore, John Messenbrink was. I think Messenbrink was there. Well, that was pretty cool. I mean, looking back on that was a fun night.
All right,
absolutely.
Meat fest.
Maybe you'll be invited next time, Christian Piles, if you get lucky.
I would love an invitation to a meat fest. That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay,
maybe I'll be in New York. Maybe I won't. Hey, but Shane, I got an issue with you though.
Good.
I brought Anthony Robles on to end the discussion once and for all last week. And you ducked us. You didn't show up.
So I've talked to Anthony about this many times because we didn't.
No, he said you hadn't. He said you hadn't. I asked him. I said, has Shane brought this up to you? And he's like,
I have.
He kind of mentioned it a little bit one time.
Yeah, I did.
But he did not say it has been discussed at length.
Well, we got to do it again. I mean, it's one of those arguments I don't have a leg to stand on. He won the national title, but it was still the wrong move. But that's okay. Still, if guys listen, guys, let me just ask you this.
He's canceled.
Listen,
you're canceled.
Can we agree on this one thing?
He doesn't even realize it.
Can we agree on one thing? Can we agree on one thing? If you had a winning probability, a mathematic winning probability based on how that match had gone, he had taken him down, he had turned him, he had rode the heck out of him.
No, we're not doing this again. We're not doing it again. Shane
was picking top. That's a fact.
No, bottom.
I can't believe that you got. I feel like, move was you pick top. Why would you ever go to? We always talk guys about wrestling positions.
We're not doing it.
This is your fault, Ben. No, you did it, man.
Shane, we're not doing it. End the show, Tyler. End the damn show. We're not doing it again.
Oh, man. I can't wait for Shane to rewatch this, that last 2 minutes.
I'll watch it. You guys have a great, Christian, have a great time in Oklahoma. Ben, have a good, time.
I don't think we're really ending. I was joking, but that was a joke. I don't think we're really ending. Well, I mean, we can end if you want, Shane.
No, hold on. We have an important question I'm trying to ask before you bring up the times. All right. Tanner Huffman says, I need a Shane Sparks album recommendation to get hype for Final X. He's currently listening to the Karate Kid soundtrack.
Oh, the Karate Kid soundtrack is fantastic. I got that CD probably 10 years ago, and I had to get it from Australia. It was the only place.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, now I'm sure you can get it on, on Apple Music or whatever. I would say this, if you want to get jacked up, I'll give you a good movie soundtrack. Obviously, Vision Quest is really good. The Rocky IV soundtrack. I'll go Rocky IV soundtrack. There you go.
Okay, Rocky IV. I saw this question and I looked at Tyler. I said, he's going to have something. I promise you, Shane Sparks is going to love Karate Kid soundtrack. I just know
it. It's a great soundtrack. It is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we got that covered. So you can get hyped for Final X. We've got, a little bit of business here before we get out of here. So the Final X Stillwater press conference is at 4, and that is 4 Central, so 5 Eastern. So you can watch all that live on Flow. Should be free. We're going to stream it live on social, I believe. So you have no excuses. Watch it, and we should have people in Gallagher, Iowa, as we speak, getting some more content on the site.
That's a great arena, too. Man.
It's a good one.
It is.
It's a good one for sure. All right. Ben, any parting thoughts? Shane, thank you so much for coming on.
Shane, man, the last couple minutes.
You guys get out and watch Top Gun? You
made my face hurt. My wife made me go out Tuesday night with her. Yes.
Was it good?
Myself.
It was entertaining. I liked it. Yeah.
They said apparently some of the action scenes are like really good, but I haven't seen it yet.
Christian, you got to go.
Okay.
How cool would it be to fly one of those jets?
That'd be fun.
Man.
That'd be cool.
That would.
A high probability of me puking all over the place, creating some sort of medical situation. So. I'll leave it to the pilots. But thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to be in the arena tomorrow. We're not going to do it from the Airbnb. We're going to be in Gallagher, Iowa.
Who are you bringing with you?
Well, you know, if Bray can get his, can haul his carcass up here.
What happened to those guys? I saw that Bray and Kozak are driving. Did I read that right?
Yeah, they're driving out because he can't get a flight out of here. Dallas was having all kinds of problems, so they couldn't get here last night. Space sat on the tarmac for 2 hours. It was a whole thing. So, yeah, they're driving up now, as they should have been in the first place. Shame. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow or at 4 Central today if you tune in for the press conference. We'll be back. Happy Thursday. Thanks so much, Ben. For Shane Sparks, Ben Askren, CP. See you later, guys.